Get in the door is our title today, and our text is Luke 13, 22 through 30. We heard last week Jesus talked about bringing fire on the earth, fire and division. And we learned about that and realized that that's a step that is on the way towards bringing peace. Right? As Jesus brings the message of peace, first it causes division sometimes. And then Jesus was teaching a little bit more about the kingdom of God, what it's like. And he talked about a mustard seed growing up into a large plant and just spreading out like that. That's what the kingdom of God is like. He talked about a little bit of yeast that was in that spreads through the dough. A little bit of yeast spreads through the dough. And now he references, as he's talking here, people that are outside of the kingdom of God. And some maybe know about the kingdom of God, and maybe in or outside of the kingdom. Some may not know about the kingdom of God even, or need to hear about it, and want to be, or you know, would want to be in God's kingdom if they hear about it. And then also, we might notice that we want to be in the kingdom of God as well, right? We want to be in that kingdom. That's a great place to be. And so he's talking about, in today's text, how someone can be in the kingdom of God and what that means. And one way of thinking about that and what it means to be in that. So our text today is Luke 13, 22 to 30. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. Luke 13, 22 through 30. Reading in Jesus' name. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us this morning. Thank you for this invitation and instruction by Jesus to get in, to be in the kingdom of God. And as we listen to what he has to say to us about how to be in God's kingdom, what that means for us, and what the message that we have for others as well, I ask that you would guide our hearts and our minds this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I'll invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front. Let's see. Are there some that want to come up to the front here? We've got a few. Any others? Come on up. All right. There's a lot of room up here. Hey, did any of you hear as I was reading something that I read that Jesus said about a door? Did you guys hear that? What did you hear?
Someone wanted to get in the door.
Yeah, that's good. What was the way, how did he describe the door? There was one word that he put on front there. Did you hear that? It's a narrow door. What does narrow mean? Do you know what narrow means? No, you don't know? Who does know? Somebody knows. What does narrow mean?
A straight line.
A straight line? Oh, it could mean that. Yeah, it could be narrow. Yeah, if you have a line on the ground, that might be narrow, right? What's the opposite of narrow? Wide, right? Wide or narrow. So if it's a door that's narrow, does anybody know what's the narrowest door in your house? Anybody have an idea? Maybe you don't know. I have some ideas what could be. Do you have a door that's not very wide in your house? Most of the doors to rooms are probably about the same size. Have you ever tried to hide in a cupboard? Have you guys tried that? No? I know some people in my family have. And then we say, hey, wait a second, you can't take all the pots out of the cupboard to go hide in it. That doesn't work. Yeah, a cupboard door, that's not very wide, is it? What about, anybody have a garage door on their house?
That's wide,
isn't it? Right? A lot wider than the cupboard door, right? That's wide, right? If you were going to go in one door or the other one, which one would be easier to go in?
Wide.
The wide one, right? The garage door. That's pretty easy. You open it up, you walk right in. The cupboard door, you have to kind of squeeze in. Well, Jesus is talking about a narrow door, but we need to think about what does he mean by what makes it narrow? Is it hard to get in some way? Can only a few people get in? That's what the question was that he was asked. Or does it mean something else? Maybe that there's only one way to get in. And it's not just wide open. You can go anywhere you want to get in, but there's just one door. And that's where it is. And that's what we're going to hear a little bit from him today. So, okay, thanks for coming up. You have a door here that you can color in here. There you go. All right, Samuel's got one for you. Do you want to hand these out? All right, thanks for coming out. All right, you guys can head back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. You too, you can go back. All right. Everybody's almost heading there. Okay, I think you're moving in the right direction here. You've got one, right? Okay. All right, thanks, guys. Okay, well, one afternoon, quite a while ago, 20-some years ago, I was sitting at my computer, and I looked at my watch, and I thought, oh, okay, I got, 40 minutes, something like that, more than till I need to be someplace. I got time to work on something else here for a little bit. I looked back at it again, and quite a bit of time had gone by, but I still had 20 minutes till I needed to be at my test to get my teaching license. And I thought, well, it's a little bit less time than I wanted to leave, but it was only 5 minutes away. It was quick, just drive over and go in. You know, the university was not very far away from where I lived, so it was an easy drive over, go in. That wasn't going to be a problem. But as I got my stuff together and then I went out to my car, I realized as I was thinking about it, oh, yeah, that's right. I needed number two pencils to take with me, and I had forgotten to make sure I had some number two pencils. So I realized I was going to have to make a quick detour by the store, which was also not very far away, but it would add a few minutes to my trip. And so as I pulled in to the store, I went in to get these pencils, found them pretty quickly, and I was in line to check out. And then I realized, I'm not actually 100% sure which door. I think I know where it is that I need to go to take this test, but I'm not 100% sure. And so I was realizing I might not actually get to this place on time because they said you need to be there right at 2 p.m. And if you're not, we close the doors and you can't take the test. You have to reschedule, take it another time. They're very strict on that. So I was looking at my watch and I was thinking, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And so I got through the checkout. I ran out to my car. I drove, a few blocks. It wasn't that far up to the university. I pulled in where I thought it was. I kind of looked around where I thought the door was. I walked in, walked down the hallway, and the hallway looked pretty empty to me. And I was, I just kind of thought, all right, I'm too late. Didn't get to take the test today. I'm going to have to reschedule. Well, we'll see what happened in a little bit. As I was sitting there, I had a sense of urgency at the last minute there. I need to get in here. I need to get there. And as we think about being in the kingdom of God, entering into the kingdom of God, sometimes we might feel a sense of urgency, but sometimes also in this life, it's easy to not necessarily feel an urgency. I mean, as we go about our daily lives, and whether it's for us or the people that we know, it might be easy to be so busy with the things that we have going on in life that the things about the kingdom of God we don't necessarily feel like we have time for or that we need to think about. There are too many other things going on. So sometimes it might be hard to feel a sense of urgency to be in the kingdom of God, to make sure we know where that is. It also can be hard for people to know where to go. How are we in the kingdom of God? How do we know that we can be there? How do we enter into the kingdom of God? And as we think about that, There is a sense of urgency. And so Jesus says, you know, get in. Make every effort to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He said the door is narrow. It's a narrow door. Make every effort to get in. Now, we might think, well, what does that mean to make every effort to get in? Because we have this idea that, and truthfully from the Bible, that we have salvation through Jesus and what He has done. So is there something in particular that we need to do? What does it mean to make every effort to enter into the narrow door? Well, let's think a little bit about what Jesus means when He's talking about a narrow door. And I think we can, first of all, understand that this is not a literal door that He's inviting people to go through. There wasn't some door in Jerusalem that people needed to go through to be in God's kingdom. He's obviously speaking figuratively. And we also can, as we think about it more, and as we hear a little bit of what Jesus is saying, and especially as we read in other parts of Scripture, He does say that there are many who will not enter, but it's not because they wouldn't necessarily fit through. It's not that it's a narrow door that will only let certain people in, or a certain number of people in. The reality is that the door is narrow because it is the only way in. It's not wide and broad and encompassing many ways of getting into the kingdom of God. There was one way into God's kingdom. And I remember a mentor teacher of mine when I was doing my student teaching said, why do Christians and Jews and Muslims not get along better? They're all worshiping the same God, right? And in that circumstance, I didn't really have time to get into a discussion about it, talk about it. Class was starting, and we never really had a chance to talk about it again after that. But that's the question that many ask. Well, worship the same God, don't we? Well, the door is a little bit more narrow than that. And because we have to ask the question, is it the same faith? Are we trusting in the same thing? And the answer, when we look into it, is no, we aren't trusting in the same thing. We're not all trusting in what Christ has done. That's what makes the door narrow. We also notice that the door will close. Jesus says, get in, because the door is going to close. The door will close, first of all, either when Jesus comes again, and, you know, when He comes again, that the time is done. The door is closed. Those who are in the kingdom of God are there, and those who are not are not. And, of course, for each one of us, the door will close at the time when we die, if that happens before Jesus comes again. The door will close. And, again, thinking about that sense of urgency, you know, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus' life and death and resurrection. So we might ask the question, well, will He return soon? I don't know. He might. Maybe it will be longer. We don't really know. We also don't know how many days we have left in our lives. Will death come soon or in several decades or more? When will death come in our lives? We don't know. But either way, when the door closes, that door is shut. And so Jesus says, get in now. And then as He's speaking this parable, as He's talking about what this is like, He says, there will be those who then, when the door is closed, they will say, open the door for us. They're not in. They're not in God's kingdom. They're not in the kingdom of heaven. And they say, open the door for us. How many people will say, when they finally realize that it's too late, open the door for us? Now they realize what they have neglected in their lives. And we pray that that would not be us or people that we know, that we would not be in that situation. What is the response that is given to those who say, open the door for us? The response is, I don't know you. I don't know you. And this ties into the narrow door. The other thing that's true about this door and entering the kingdom is that the owner must know you for you to get in to the kingdom, to get through that door. The owner must know you. His response will be, I don't know you. And they'll say back to Him, well, we ate and we drank with you and you taught in our streets. And for those that Jesus is telling this to originally, that was literally true. They did eat and drink with Him and He taught in their streets. And even so, there will be some in that group right there that do not know Him and He doesn't know them. And He'll say, I don't know you. It's not a matter of just knowing Him or having knowledge of His name or details about Him, but it's a personal relationship. It's a relationship of Him knowing us. What does that look like in our lives? You know, it can be easy to think that we know Him and He knows us if we have certain things that are a part of our lives. Even though those things are important, we know that we need more. It's not just going to church. It's not just knowing the Lord's Prayer, being at Sunday school, doing Bible studies, memorizing Bible verses. It's not any of those things by itself. Those can help, but it's not those things that help us to be in God's kingdom. You know, a friend of mine, his name is Joel, and he was the evening cook at Hillcrest in Fergus Falls and for a while. And as I was living there in Fergus Falls at the same time, you know, that's a boarding school, so there are kids that live in the dorm, students that live in the dorm. There are also those that come from town. But he was cooking there in the evenings, and I was, my job was to monitor the cafeteria, clean the cafeteria. So I got to know him pretty well, and some of the other students as well. And as he was there, sometimes if, you know, they would have students that would work in the cafeteria, as you know, it was one way of reducing tuition. If they would work in the cafeteria, they could reduce some of their tuition. So they would do that. And so some of these would, some of them of course would work really hard, and others might not work quite as hard. And Joel was very friendly with everybody. But if somebody would be very dependable, you know, he would often give them a little bit more freedom. So he might say, "Oh yeah, after you're done, you know, go get a can of pop out of the fridge or something like that," or allow them a little bit of a freedom, or let them go a little bit early or whatever if they work really hard. And he knew them very well that way. And so there was one girl in particular who was there, and then as she graduated, her younger brother came to school there. And as he came, he had heard the stories about working with Joel and about how Joel would give these special privileges. And so he came there, and he would just come up to Joel and say, "Hey, can I have a can of pop?" Or, "Hey, can I do this?" Or, "Can I have that?" And after a little while, Joel said, "Hey, you're just new here. What are you expecting from this? You've heard the stories, but, you know, I'm not just going to do these things for you because you come and ask." He was presuming on something that he knew about Joel, but he didn't know Joel, and Joel didn't know him. It wasn't a relationship that they had. And so he didn't end up getting those things because he didn't really know Joel, and Joel didn't know him. The way into the door, this narrow door, is as God knows us and as we know Him through faith. We need to have a relationship with Him. Well, as we think about Jesus teaching the people about how to be in the kingdom of God, it's kind of a sad end. I mean, it's a really sad end, a tragic end for those who don't know God and who are not known by God. For those who presume to know God. That's the category of people that Jesus was talking to. They presumed to know God. And Jesus says there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. Such a tragic end. But there is hope. There is hope. It has not happened yet. The door is open. The door is open even if you might not be thinking about it, or people that we know that might not be thinking about it, or people that are in other parts of the world. Jesus, as he follows up to that statement that he just made, he then says this: people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. And that's just a simple way. If we think about first are those who are in the kingdom, and last are those who are not, it's simply those who presume to be in that are going to be out. And those who may not have originally been in, but they've heard the gospel message and believe, and they will be first. They will be part of God's kingdom. As we hear this, we can be excited that though the door is narrow, that it will close, it is open for us. The way is open to us. And as we think about how we go in, I think about another thing too. A few years ago, well, quite a while ago actually, when Zeke was pretty little, we were traveling one day and we came across a McDonald's. And there was a Playland there, which is also always very handy when you have little kids, right? You can go as you're traveling, you go in, get something to eat, and the kids can go play in the Playland. And but as I went in, I remembered back to when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, they were just starting to put in Playlands at McDonald's. And every time it seemed like if the height limit was 36 inches, I was 37 inches tall. If it was 40 inches, I was 41. If it was for 10 and under, I was already 11. If it was for 12 and under, I was always 13. I never got to go into the play areas. They always looked so appealing to me, and I never got to go in. And I thought, can I ever get into one of these play areas? I want to, but I don't get to. I'm too big. I won't be allowed. But as we got to this play area, it said, well, children and parents are welcome in the play area. And I thought, wonderful, I get to go in this one. So Zeke went in, and I went in along with him. And it was fun to go into the McDonald's play areas. But you know, I wouldn't have been able to go in by myself. I was only able to go in because I was there with Zeke. And we were able to go in. The way is open to all of us. The way is open for anyone who is brought in by the right person. In my case, at the play area, it was Zeke or any of my other children as they got, you know, as they came along. In the case of the kingdom of God, we're brought in by Jesus. And also, we might note that the way is open even for those who seem like the most unlikely. Sometimes we think that we can maybe judge in a way whether someone is a Christian or not a Christian, or maybe we might think, hey, you know, I don't know if God could ever work with that person. Or it might say of somebody else, yeah, I see that they're not a Christian now, but they're a good person, and I think it would not take much for them. And so we start to make judgments like that. But as Jesus talks about people coming from all parts of the world, people that are not a part of the Israelite, you know, the Jewish people, in his case, as he was talking to them right here, the chosen people, they're not a part of that, but he says there are people from all over the world, even the most unlikely people may be part of the kingdom of God. So whether that's us, or whether it's people that we know, or people that we may come to know in the future, we understand, acknowledge that the invitation is open to come in the door, to come in the narrow door, only one way in, but it's with Jesus, and he invites us to come in with him. And so we invite people to come along with us, to meet Jesus and be brought in by him through this narrow door. Well, as we think about back to my story, as I was getting to the door, the empty hallway, or mostly empty hallway, well, you may have guessed, may have not, I didn't end up having to reschedule my test. I got up to the door, I was out of breath, but it turns out it was not closed yet. Maybe they gave 1 or 2 minute grace period, I don't know, on that 2 p.m. exact start. But I got there. I had my registration card with me so I can hand it to them to say, yes, I get to be a part of this test here. Now, just say that the test does not compare with the kingdom of God. That's not like a test for a teaching license, right? But much better in the kingdom of God than a test. But I did get to go in. I got in. I didn't have to reschedule. And what a relief. What a relief that I got to be in. What a relief it will be as we arrive in the kingdom of God. Even in this life, as we think about the reality that we can be in the kingdom of God, and that if we're trusting in Christ, we are in. What a relief to be in the kingdom of God through that narrow door. And what a encouragement to share the message of Jesus with others as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus' teaching. Thank you for the encouragement here to move, to act, to trust, to make sure that we know that we are in your kingdom, that we are trusting in Christ, to realize that the end for those who are not in your kingdom is tragic, and we don't really want anybody to be a part of that group. And so we ask that you would encourage us in our own lives to be trusting in you, to be through that door, and also to take the message of that narrow door to others around us, to be ready to share with them and invite them in with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.